afterward, way afterward.
Oh.
Not during the
Not
war.
During the war, except for the going to the USOs and the canteens. You didn't go to dances or have other kinds of social activities.
Oh, yeah. Oh, probably had some personal friends, you know, parties and stuff like that. And we'd still go to some of the club affairs that were still surviving. Because most of those clubs start breaking off during the war. So many men were gone, mm-hmm. so many of the boys were gone. They would break up. But this ideal girls, Ideal de Señorita, they stayed on because it was really a woman's club.
Uh-huh.
And they are the ones that survived the longest. In fact, they changed their name now to Damas of something else, but they're still a club.
So did you become involved with them? Maybe,
not involved really, but I'd go to their mm-hmm. affairs. Mm-hmm. I was still faithful to my old crowd. But most of those clubs disbanded about that time.
Were you dating during the war years?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
And who would these young men be? Would they be in the service?
Once in a while, yes, I'd meet a boy that was in the service, or boys that had come back, or boys that were getting ready to go. And some would be CBs or in sailors or whatever. I have several pictures of that, like two boys in particular that I knew from the clubs. I mentioned the fact that this fellow Rudy, he went to Stanford and he wrote a book of his experiences of growing up as a migrant worker, mm-hmm. which I didn't know at the time that when he was a little boy, mm-hmm. he was. And we stayed very friendly for a long, long time. He wanted to get married. He writes his experience in this book about me. And like he says, a lot of the book was to make it fiction, make mm-hmm. it. But what we had between us was true, and I will say that it was true. So he was a CB, and he'd come in town. He was stationed towards Santa Barbara someplace over that way.
Point Hueneme, that area?
Port Hueneme. Mm-hmm. Point Hueneme, mm-hmm. right. He was stationed there, so he'd come in quite a bit.
And then what sorts of things would you do? Because I know there were problems with brownouts and mm-hmm. having entertainment. Sometimes.
There was a lot of mainly afternoon dances at the Palladium, at the It Club up on Hollywood, at Earl Carroll's. That would be, say, from 2 o'clock in the afternoon to 6, something like that, afternoon dances. And then there was a lot of bowling. We'd do a lot of bowling. And that was about it. Bowling, go maybe to the mountains during the snow, mm-hmm. when there was snow. But mainly when the men were in, they had this short leaves that we'd concentrate mostly on what could be done like mm-hmm. that.
The because if you were working on Saturdays, then this would be on Sundays?
Sunday. Usually Sunday afternoon was when they had the afternoon dances.
What are the ways in which the war and its various effects were affecting you in terms of your daily life? And including your social life.
Mm-hmm. Well, the fact that so many of the boys were gone. Mm-hmm. A lot of the activities were curtailed, where before we did so much of going, spending the whole day in activities, or maybe going away on a picnic, planning to go up to Big Bear or Arrowhead or something like that. Things were done more concentrated mm-hmm. in town. Time was so precious. Mm-hmm. We couldn't plan those long trips and stuff like that.
Well, and how about in terms of transportation? Was that problematic?
We accepted it. A lot of the boys naturally couldn't get a car. Some had friends that could borrow a car, but if not, you rode the streetcar, you rode the bus. It didn't faze you.
Mm-hmm. You didn't have a sense of things being terribly crowded?
No, we didn't. We accepted it.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, I never Rose brought it up. That's why I thought the fact that I always wanted a car and I always was saving to buy myself a car, and I never did.
Did she have problems with gas rationing?
Yes, mm-hmm. she had stamps. But I think that being that she was like the head of the family driving, I think she got extra something mm-hmm. like that. I don't remember.
And she actually married during the war?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes, she got married and then her husband went overseas.
Oh, so did she stay
with my mother.
Uh-huh.
She stayed with my mother.
So it was still the two boys were in the service.
Eddie and Leo.
And so it was just the youngest and you and Rose.
Mm-hmm. Jimmy, and then Jimmy went in the service too.
Now how about rationing food, sugar, all that sort of rationing?
In fact, I came across, a sugar rationing book there among my things.
Oh, well, we'll have to copy all of this.
Oh, you would have liked to. I'll dig it up again.
Oh,
I didn't think. See, I see so many other things, but I don't know if it's of interest to you, so I just shove them to one side, you know.
Oh, no, it is.
Yeah. And I recall it used to stay pretty good. It didn't hit us that to the point where we deprived ourselves. I guess the fact that we were used to watching our pennies, we just went along with
mm-hmm.
it. But I recall the mother having that thing on the window with her three stars of the three boys in the service. And every time we get a letter, it was quite a deal. And when she didn't hear from him for a long time, it was pretty sad. And Jimmy wanted so badly, that was the youngest, go into the Navy because the other two were in the Navy. And he couldn't make it because he had a heart murmur.
So well, he would have been very young, wouldn't he?
They all went very young. They all went very young. They were just 17, 18. Mom had to sign for them to go. But they wanted to go. And Jim, I have pictures, and he looks like a little baby with an army outfit. he was in the Korean War,
mm-hmm.
Jimmy. So.
When, after about a year or so of drilling, you started having the leg problems. Now, this almost sounds like you had varicose veins?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes, that's it. Instead, I still have.
Uh-huh.
In fact, when I had my last, when I had Joe, I had serious problems.
Mm-hmm.
I busted up in here.
So you had to go through some interviews and get...
It wasn't the NCS thing the fact, like I tell you, of course, if you were a bum worker, they couldn't care less. But I give myself a compliment by saying that I was willing to work overtime, and I wasn't afraid to work, and I guess I got along with them, probably, because it wasn't the easiest thing to get the transfer from that job. Finally, when I got into the tool shed, then to quit when Molly was pregnant already. So we were trying to figure out the years, and she went to work for Mr. Allen, that was the owner. And that's when she tipped me off, there's an opening for a desk girl. Come and work there, and then you can work yourself up from there.
Well, let's backtrack a little. Mm-hmm. When you were requesting the transfer, did you have an idea of what job you would want, or you just wanted to get out of the...
Standing on my feet.
Standing.
Right, right. I wanted to work sitting down. And... they asked me at the time if I would like to do office work.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I don't care as long as I'm sitting down. It didn't make any difference. Then they figured that the tool shed would be the best because I wouldn't have to walk so much. If I worked in the office, sometimes you had to take a message for this department, that department. So I think that's why they put me in the tool shed.
And the tool shed was on the same floor you've been working on?
Yes, each place had their own tool shed.
Mm-hmm. And what was your job there exactly?
Giving out tools. They'd come in with a regular request, and I'd help the one that was in charge. There was just the two of us there.
Was it a woman or manager?
Man, a man, because a lot of those things were heavy. You couldn't pick them up. And they'd come in for different tools. And
now, did you have to have any training for that to learn what the various things were?
Yes, but not such a... big deal. You learn on the job, you know. A lot of things you knew automatically from working out there. You knew what they'd come to request, and you'd take care of them. You didn't know the other one would take care, and then gradually you got to know what it was.
How did you feel about that job compared to the drilling?
It was much easier. Mm-hmm. It was hectic when they'd come in bunches that they wanted, but it was much easier for me and cleaner, I would have to say, because just your hands got dirty if you handled the things, but nothing else. And you didn't have to wear a hairnet.
Mm.
You just go dress pants naturally and work in the tool shed.
If it hadn't been for the problem with your legs, would you have preferred to stay in the drilling, or would you have preferred?
I probably would have never thought of working elsewhere. I probably would have stayed on the drilling. Never gave it a second thought.
Mm-hmm. Now, but you would basically spend your time much more isolated then once you started working the tool shed.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
How do you feel about that?
Didn't bother me, because I'd see her on the break, or I'd see the girls in lunch hour.
So you'd still take your lunch and break with your same
group? Usually, yes. Yes, usually. When I recall working there, I recall the man I worked with was pretty lenient, pretty nice. And I know that he never told me, no, you can't take your break right now, we're too busy or something. Mm-hmm. I just realized when we were too busy and I would do it. Otherwise, you know, when the girls would take a break, I'd take a break and go and have coffee with them or Coke or whatever.
How old was he, the man who was running?
He's an older man, but I don't remember. I know I considered him an old man, but he must have been in his 40s, 50s, you know.
Did you have any experiences with the men who were there in terms of, actually two different things? Any feelings of resentment that they had towards the women working? Did you ever have any experiences like that with them?
No. I had a crush on one of them, and we went out for a while. But, no, I don't think I had any resentment,
mm-hmm.
As far as not in our department anyway. It was such light work, in the sense of the word, they'd probably realize that a girl would have to do something
mm-hmm.
like that.
And how about what in those days, I guess, was called getting fresh with the women working there? Did you have problems at all with that?
No, not in our department,
mm-hmm.
No. There wasn't that many men around.
Mm.
And in our department, it was primarily women.
Now, how much dating was there between the women working in the...
There's quite a bit. There's a lot of them. A lot of them would eat lunch together or go home together, come together. Maybe they worked in one department, the other one worked way over there, but they'd meet each other.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of dating. A lot of married couples even worked there.
Mm.
They had children.
How about gossip about the married women dating or going out? It seems that in a lot of the companies, there was an awful lot of gossip about that. Do you recall that at all?
I don't recall any problems like that. Men, we always wondered if they were married, you know, because they were older men. I know the one I went out with, that was one of the first things we found out when we were working there at work. Gee, he's such a nice looking guy. Is he married? Is he married? And when we found out he was divorced, actually, or so he said, then my girlfriend Jeanette had a party at her house and invited him. And he asked me if I was going, and that's how come I start going out with him. And he took me to the party.
Uh-huh.
But I don't recall hearing too much gossip about the men and the women, being that they were older, you know.
Mm-hmm. What sort of things, when you started dating him, would you do with each other?
Well, we'd go out to the, he's a pretty good dancer, and we'd go to those afternoon dances. And also, he liked the show a lot. I remember going to see Fantasia the first time I came out with him. And he was a good swimmer. He loved to go to the beach. And I have pictures of him out at the beach.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't much of a swimmer. I know how, but not
crazy
about it. But he liked the ocean a lot. And we went, and also he'd rent He liked to fish.
Mm-hmm.
He'd get a little boat. We'd go out and that was the most boring thing in the world for me, but I went along with it.
But it sounds like you had, I mean, even as busy as you were between the Citizens Defense Corps and working and working,
I still would find time to still would find time to relax in between.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yes.
But and it also sounds like you were probably dating a couple of different.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I was never. I actually didn't. Should I say, tie myself down
mm-hmm.
in the sense of what, till I made up my mind with him when he came back.
Now, when exactly did you make up your mind that you were going to marry your husband?
When he left, I promised to marry him.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me, no, let's get married because I'll come back, you'll be married. I told him, if I do, I'll wait till you come back. I won't send you none of those Dear John letters because mm-hmm. that's what he used to say. He would be getting one of those.
Mm.
And I've got a lot of letters where he writes to me. Those little tiny little letters they used to send telling me about getting married and getting married and what do you do. I never used to brag to him about all the boys I was dating, but other people that would write to him would tell him. I saw Margie in this and that place with so-and-so, you know, and stuff like that.
But so he knew you were dating.
He knew that I was out.
Mm-hmm.
But like I say, he also was doing it, so why not?
And when was he sent overseas?
I should have asked him. But, God, I don't remember off the top of my head the exact date. But I was going to go see him off. I used to go see all my friends when they'd go. I'd go to the station and see him off. I wanted to go see him off, and he said, no, I don't want you to see me off. My mother's going to be, and that'll be hard enough. Because his mother was a very emotional woman. So it turned out that in the end, the brother and sister-in-law just went to see him off, and not the mother. They left her at home. She was carrying on so much.
Hmm.
But
now, tell me a little bit more about his background, because you told me some things that I think we talked about off tape last time.
My husband, well, he was born in El Paso, and he came over here when he was, I think he was 10 years old or 11. He was educated here. He had some education over there. That's why he learned Spanish so well, because he took it. He was in Lydia Patterson Institute, and he learned Spanish and English very well there. And he came here, and he worked in odd jobs also. And then he got involved in pictures. He worked in pictures till after we got married.
What sort of work? In
extra.
Uh-huh. So by the time he went into the service, he was already doing that?
Oh, yes, he was doing that. But he was also working, when there was no work, he had another job.
Mm-hmm.
He worked for Spring and Bumper, I think it was the name of it. That's when I was working for Lockheed.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd also work in pictures, but if there was no work, he had this steady job.
Oh, I see.
And that's where he got his official initial experience in working with steel.
Oh, I see.
Because he's a retired Navy, naval man. So
by the time he went into the service, he'd already been getting that experience.
But he went in as a clerk for the service, because he was an extra. And he knew how to type, he knew all that. So he worked as a clerk for a while, then boom, they put him in the front lines.
And then you say he was captured and he was a
prisoner of war in Germany. And we received the notice, that is my brother-in-law received the notice that he was captured. And he called me. And coming from a religious family, you have to understand this. The first thing I did was go to church and have a mass said for him. And I told his mother and my sister-in-law about it. So they came that Sunday morning, and we were in church when they got the telegram that he had been liberated.
How long was he held a prisoner then?
Not too long. I think it was just a month.
Oh.
Not too long. The Allies were already after the Germans at the time, and they were really, really toward the end there.
Mm-hmm.
And they were pushing them, moving the prisoners. When he was first captured, he was scared to death because they were hiding in this cellar-like, and there had been all kinds of goodies there from other families, you know, that had lived there. And my husband had gotten this little pouch of all kinds of coins and a book he wanted to bring home to show how the German people were really basically a very religious family, you know, all these soldiers and all that. And we come in. And they figured they had killed or done something. But somehow or other it came on. They didn't kill him. They just pushed him on.
Now, where was it he was captured? Was it in Germany or in France?
No, in Germany.
In Germany.
Near the Black Forest.
Oh, so it's as the Allies were already in Germany.
They were already, yes. Yes, it was, like I say, toward the end. So he was only a prisoner of war about a month.
Now, you were still at Lockheed, though, during that time.
Mm-hmm.
What, since you had planned on getting married by that time, even before he left, after he came back you would get married, what were your plans and thoughts about the future? What did you think you were going to do or wanted to do while you were still at Lockheed, but knowing that after the war
we would get married? I think I was taking one day at a time. I don't think I was planning ahead. I knew I wanted to get married, but I wasn't positive as to the role I would accept afterward, whether I would keep on working or whether he would come back and we'd get settled or what tomorrow would bring. It was such an upheaval that I didn't know. When he came back, he had to stay in Santa Barbara for, what do they call that, rest and recreation, R&R, and he was I forget now, MP. He was stationed there, and that's where we got married, there at the Biltmore in Santa Barbara.
Well, what did you think about work at Lockheed? Were you interested in continuing?
No. After I started working there at the tool shed, I kept thinking of getting out of there and getting out of there. And that's when Molly had sold her beauty shop and was working as a sales girl for this man that owned two wholesale beauty supplies plus a string of beauty shops. And he hired the first woman to be a sales lady, which was Molly. And Molly did very, very, very well. And her husband wanted her to stay home. He didn't want her to work. And he was, I forget what was wrong with Alan. I think he's deaf or something's wrong with him. He wasn't in the service. So she went to work, and she's the one that told me.
Oh, and then there was an opening there.
That Mr. Allen needed a girl. He was opening this budget shop in Eastern Columbia. And they needed a girl there. So she said, make your break now. Come down and apply. And I went and applied, and he hired me. I guess I hit him, and he hired me, and that's when I went back. I told him, well, I have to quit my job over here.
Now, how much trouble did you have getting released?
It was a little bit. I had to really get another proof that I was still being treated on my leg, and that I still gave me trouble, and the walking back and forth and all that.
Do you recall what the procedure was like to get the release then?
I had to get doctor's certificate and prove that I was getting shots on my leg and that he felt that I should do a little less walking and a little this. And then I had to go to the counselor or whatever, supervisor, and get it. And I recall her making a big issue of the fact that walking from one to the other end. She has told me, would you like a wheelchair, you know?
Why did you want to make the transition and get out of Lockheed?
Well, actually, I always admired beauty work. I was trained for it. I really liked it. And I figured, well, I guess probably the war was just over there. make your break now before all the girls will be looking for jobs too. And since she had told me there was an opening there, who could be a better person than to break me in than her being working for this man? Mm-hmm. And it was a good chance.
Mm-hmm. Were you going to have to take a pay drop moving over there?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes. Because desk girl, I know that I took less money. I know that it was less. But I didn't last that long as a desk girl. Mm-hmm. So...
But it sounds like you were pretty clear that in effect, there would not be a future for women staying at Lockheed.
At Lockheed. I saw already where I was going to stay. Whereas over here, I had a chance of good opportunities to advance.
Now, were layoffs beginning to occur already at that point, you recall?
I don't remember. Mm-hmm. I don't remember if there was any.
Looking back, I think rather than going into the other job, we probably should next time start with when you make that move. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, looking back and thinking about it, how did you feel about the work at Lockheed itself? Do you think there's any way in which it had an effect on your life that was more long-lasting in terms of things that you learned there working in this different kind of setting?
I think it... In a way it did, because I got to learn to know about tools, which I never did. Mm-hmm. I never did before that. Didn't even know what a hammer was for. Mm-hmm. And I got to know all about those different things, and more or less what a screwdriver was, what a pliers were, and, you know, mm-hmm. different wrenches and stuff like that. So I think in a way it was educational. Mm-hmm. It did help me.
Is that something that carried over later?
Yeah. Because even... my sisters didn't know how to use a drill, and I could clean something or go back there in crafts or anything, and I would drill a hole, you know. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm mechanically inclined, but I was able to do it. Mm-hmm. So I think I learned something mm-hmm. from working there.
How did you feel about it in terms of the kind of setting? Because here you'd worked in a small shop and come into a large industrial setting and went back into a more... closed
mm-hmm,
kind
mm-hmm.
of world.
I liked it because the break from here was so entirely different. It was more my type of a thing. I got to dress up entirely different, working more with women, mm-hmm. not with machinery. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it more. I really did.
Going back into the office
mm-hmm.
work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Working in beauty work, yeah. Actually.
Now, at that point, your husband, you were already working in this other place by the time he was released and you and came back?
Yes. I was already a desk girl. No, uh-huh. No. When we got married, I was there. I took 2 weeks off.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe we should stop at this point and the next time start with when you move over to the other job and mm-hmm. then you get married and then mm-hmm. you're life since.
Okay.
Is there anything else before we stop, though, about this war years period before you left Lockheed that we perhaps haven't touched
upon? No, outside of the fact I did get to see different people come and entertain us there. Red Skelton, for one. He was a very nice-looking man in those years. And what other comedian would come during lunch hour mm-hmm. and put on shows? I thought that was nice. That was about it. I think that's about it.